This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. If you missed any of the first hour of our show, go back on the podcast and listen. You missed a lot of good things, including me finally smelling good. Thanks to Mrs. Canty with the Joe Malone cologne that I now have. I smell clean. There's just a cleanliness that's across
it's emanating, yeah.
Yeah, you smell
it's
me.
Wafting.
I'm a good wafter now.
You should just leave that here so that every day we get to be blessed with that smell.
No, it's a very good cologne. Somebody will take it. I'm not leaving it here. I'm bringing it home.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I'm a guy that goes out now. I went out twice last weekend.
That's
I know.
Right.
Wow.
You were at a dinner party, CC.
Exactly. Fancy this guy.
I know. Wait a minute. I got to bring something up.
What's up?
At this dinner party, we walk in, and CC's already cringing because he knows something so uncomfortable is about to happen here.
You saw it?
I walk in. My wife and I walk in. All these couples in our community. It's a very nice party. I took off my shoes because I thought everybody was supposed to take off your shoes. And I'm wearing white Nike, like sports kind of socks. I'm sitting down at this party. We're all in like this area. I look around. I'm the only one who took my shoes off.
Wow. And I'm pretty sure that nobody else had on athletic socks, too.
I'm pretty sure you're right about that.
At a dinner party.
Pretty sure.
So I'm wearing white Nike socks. And my wife said, "You want to put your shoes back on?" I said, "No. Out of principle, I'm not going to do this."
Yeah. How many people were at this total?
Like 14 to 16.
And you were the only one without?
That's correct.
Yeah, you were the weird one.
Yeah. I thought it was the right thing to do.
I actually appreciate that as somebody that's adamant that people take their shoes off at the door. I actually appreciate that about you, that you have that level of consideration.
I agree. But then you should have pivoted, though. Because then you're the awkward guy that's made yourself too much at home walking around in your athletic socks.
Yeah, and then everybody else is walking around inside with outside still on their feet.
Yep.
And then you have your socks on.
Ooh.
So that gets on your socks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all kinds of
so nasty. I should have then put my shoes back on?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
100%.
You just know there was a couple driving home after that. Where I was like, "Did you notice that Evan took his shoes off? What was that about?"
And kept them off the entire night.
But they had like a coat hanger rack thing, and like I thought that like, hey,
put your shoes on the rack.
Yeah, I thought like on the bottom part. I thought that's what you're supposed to do when you walk in someone's house. You take off your shoes.
So why would they have one of those at the door in the coat closet and then not ask people to take their shoes off at the dinner party?
These people like, could not be nicer. But I may
sure,
have screwed
I'm
this
with
up.
You. But I have questions about those people. Now.
Maybe it's because it's for them. You know, the people that live in the house.
That's yeah, but if I'm taking off my shoes, then everybody else that comes to my house damn well better take their shoes off too. And you can't relax that policy for a night because the whole point is to not have people walking around inside with outside still on their feet.
But we live in New York City, so there
disgusting.
Are some gross things
disgusting.
That are on the bottom of our shoes. Evan lives in a nice manicured gated community.
I don't live in a gated community.
You live in a gated community. There's a gated street, and he's got a gated driveway.
Yeah, so he went from inside of his house to his car to their nice driveway into their home. I don't think he's got the same things on the bottom of his feet is what I'm
saying. That is fair.
Canty, are you providing like slip-ons or whatever, like take my shoes off?
Yeah,
whatever it is, you know,
monogram slippers. You
don't, have socks on?
I do, but I'm just saying. If you want me to take off my shoes, then
so I have the little booties.
All right,
the booties that you put over your shoes if you don't want to take your shoes off.
Oh, that's nice.
So that's what I offer. Now, one of my former teammates, Terrell Owens, when he would have people over, he would actually require them to take their shoes off at the door, but then he would have this basket full of fluffy socks. That were just amazing.
Wow.
Like it felt like a pillow for your feet.
Could you keep the socks?
Yeah, you could keep them. It was next level. So he was like, he'd have this basket of fluffy socks. So even if you had socks on, you wanted to take your socks off to put the fluffy socks on.
That is luxury.
Yeah, right that there. Is luxury. That is doing it the right way now. I'm too cheap for that.
I was going to say, I can't even imagine what that would cost.
I'm too cheap for that.
Because you have to constantly replenish the socks.
No doubt. No doubt.
And those socks, I bet, were not cheap.
No.
I have to point out one other part of this. I think I was wearing jeans, so the white socks really stand out. Like, if you think about it, if I was wearing black blue socks, it kind of could blend in.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there, and everyone clearly saw that I'm wearing Nike socks.
Hold on.
Yes?
So this was a Because you said there was a chef there, right?
So well, I didn't say it on the air, but now you just did.
Yes. There was a chef there. Yeah. Wow. So,
and you had your Nike socks.
But this feels like, a fancy, like a fancy kind of setup, like dinner party, and you're rolling in there with jeans and white socks.
Okay, Nuno.
And the jacket with the hoodie on, Nuno.
No, no, I actually, what did I wear? What did I may have done
you
that.
Wear, you wear the used car salesman button-up shirt?
Hey, I'm a, whoa.
I wore that Saturday night. I wore that shirt Saturday night. Yeah.
We all know which one.
We all know which one.
Oh, God. My wife liked it. I don't know what you want me to say. But
that's
yeah.
all that matters.
What did I? No, I wore like a nice shirt, not buttoned down, with yes, one of my jackets yeah, over. Of course.
Yeah. Of course he did.
With nice jeans. And I had nice shoes on. But then I took the shoes off. And I was the only one with the shoes off. With
so
the
hosts,
socks.
The hosts even had shoes on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you were weird.
Yeah, so I have a firm policy. If I'm wearing jeans, I can't wear athletic socks. Like, the only time I'm wearing athletic socks is when I'm wearing sweats or I'm wearing shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, what kind of socks do you have today? You have non.
They're not dress socks. But
oh, yeah,
not...
no. Those, see, you're wearing like a grayish kind of striped socks.
Yeah, they're not dress socks, but.
No, but in that spot, if you were to take your shoes off, you're not weird.
No.
Because you have, like, you put some thought in the socks.
Yes.
Mine are like, oh, he just came from playing basketball. It's basically what I look. I mean, but then out of principle, I'm like, no, I'm keeping them off. Because for me, I think in that spot, you should take your shoes off when you go to someone's home.
Yes, but I also think you should defer to the host. And if the host has their shoes on, then you should put yours on too.
Wonderful.
Okay. I just don't understand people that require folks to take their shoes off most of the time when they come to their house, but not all of the time. That makes no sense.
Keep
to
it
me.
Consistent.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm also, by the way, a big fan of hospital socks. Do you know the hot with like the
oh yeah, they're really with the traction on the bottom.
Amazing. Oh, like Pilates
yeah.
socks.
Yeah, when my grandmother, may she rest in peace, was in the hospital, I may have robbed the hospital for all the hospital socks.
Yeah.
I love the hospital socks.
Yeah, you never want to be in a position to get the hospital socks.
No, not the best. I took it. All right, anyway, you know, we've been throwing around with the draft a week and a half away. We'll be there in Detroit. Yeah. We've been throwing around this idea that the most likely team to trade in this draft would clearly be the Minnesota Vikings. Mm-hmm. They get 11 and 23. And everyone has put out the idea of could they trade with 3 in New England? Could they trade with 4 in Arizona? 5 with the Chargers, 6 with the Giants. Could they potentially trade with those guys? But if they're looking for a really good quarterback and 11 and 23 is really good value, is there any chance they could make some phone calls for an established quarterback? Is there any way they – are they calling the Cowboys, just for argument's sake, and saying, hey, Dallas, you haven't signed Dak. You haven't done anything with Dak here. Is there a conversation to be had for 11 and 23? Hey, Miami Dolphins – you haven't signed Tua long-term. We've heard you wanted to. Maybe you should, maybe you shouldn't. Is there a conversation to be had? Are we too narrow-minded with our focus on 11 and 23 for the Minnesota Vikings? Could they open it up and at least call around for established quarterbacks? Is that impossible?
It's not impossible. I think you have to do your due diligence, and that's a part of it. But the value of being able to have the ability to draft a quarterback is having them on the rookie contract. And being able to have him for the cheap for at least 3, more likely 4 seasons before you have to start paying him top of the market money. So to forego that is essentially giving up a lot of power that comes along with having the draft picks that you do. So I don't envision that Minnesota is going to go down that road, even though I would probably make the argument that they should, because you want a proven commodity at the position and you can't quite put a value on that. So I mean, the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott, we'll see how those contract negotiations evolve. We've had Adam Schefter on, Dan Graziano on, and they've said that financially it probably makes more sense for Dallas and Dak to do it after the season. But the longer that thing lingers, the more teams are going to be checking in on the possibility of trying to acquire Dak Prescott between now and the start of the 2025 season.
I would absolutely be calling Dallas if I was Minnesota. Now, I don't know if that's a road I would want to go down because it's a very expensive road.
Yes.
And if you're Minnesota and you really trust your scouting department and you have the capital to go up and get the quarterback that you believe is really going to be transformational for your franchise and you could do it on a rookie deal, that seems like the more logical road to go down. But if I'm the Vikings and I really think that I have a lot of pieces in place and I'm a quarterback away, I'm leaving no stone unturned. And that includes calling teams like the Dallas Cowboys. Miami's a different situation because I'd still be worried about Tua's health for the price tag that he's going to command. But I would probably make that call too just to see what the asking price would be for Miami. But if I'm Minnesota, I can't leave anything for chance. I need to see what established guys are out there and what that would cost me. And I also need to make sure that I have done my full eval on all of these guys in the draft.
Is there Small, any team? Is there any team that we could look at and say Minnesota could call 11 and 23 and they would take the call and Minnesota would want their quarterback?
Here's the thing. If you've got an established quarterback, are you willing to give him up for two first-round draft picks?
Exactly.
Like if he's a guy that has proven himself to be top 10 at the position, are you giving him up for two first-round picks?
Is there a potential guy that you could look at?
So
I mean, there's a potential guy. Some of the shine has come off of him because of what happened last year through no fault of his own. But, I mean, Bryce Young went to Carolina Panthers. Mm. Last year's number one overall pick. Now, considering what the Carolina Panthers gave up to get him, I mean, not only the number one pick in 2023, but the number one pick this year that belongs to the Chicago Bears. That's what they've invested in Bryce Young. So it would be selling really low, pennies on the dollar. But if you realize where that franchise is, not in any position to be able to support a young quarterback, an impetuous owner, and yet another head coach. I mean, you've had three in as many seasons. I just think that if you're Minnesota, depending on what grade you had on Bryce Young, that might be worth a check-in. Now, I don't think the Carolina Panthers would do it. As a matter of fact, I know they wouldn't because it feels like they're pot committed. But that would be another avenue that you could potentially go down, another team that you could check in with to see if they would be willing to part company with their veteran quarterback.
That would be fascinating if they ever made that kind of call. But that's I guess, where we're going with this, is that if you're Minnesota and you're dying to get your quarterback for the next 5 to 10 years and you can't move up or you don't want to give up the extra piece to move up, what are you doing with those two picks?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, if you don't want to rope in 2025 draft picks, do you really want to give up 11 and 23 for the chance to draft J.J. McCarthy? Like, that doesn't move the needle for me. And I'm not sure it moves the needle for anybody in their front office. So, I mean, if you have the choice to give up 11 and 23 for J.J. McCarthy or Bryce Young, what's the road that you would want to go down?
What would
Again,
you do?
I would do the latter. I would give up 11 and 23 for Bryce Young. Again, not saying that the Carolina Panthers would do it,
right?
But I would check in on it. That's the call I would make. Yeah. That's a conversation that has to be had.
Would you be worried at all that the dysfunction from last year has already impacted Bryce Young in a negative way? Because that would be my thought if I was Minnesota.
Meaning gotten the career knocked out of him? I would say this, and this is talking out of both sides of my mouth because more franchise quarterbacks are ruined than made. Mm-hmm. But if he is a true franchise quarterback, then I'm not worried about last year because the mental fortitude that player has to have in order to be a true franchise guy. I mean, Peyton Manning threw what? 28 interceptions his first year.
Trevor Lawrence bounced back
after the dysfunction. That was Urban Meyer. I mean, both of those guys, number one overall picks. If Bryce Young has that same type of mental makeup, I'm not worried about that.
Good
so
point.
That would be my logic behind it.
NBA play-in games start tonight. Brian Windhorst will join us next. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
NBA playoffs on ESPN Radio. Tune in to play in action tonight. Kings and the Warriors, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins 9:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations and Sirius XM Channel 80. We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio. Brian Windhorst is here.
Hello.
Hoop Collective Podcast.
Good morning.
You know he's my favorite, right? I make no bones about that. I love Windy. I was listening yesterday. Wow. The beginning of the Hoop Collective podcast, Tim Bontemps went off. Let's just explain before we get into the play and everything. He was so mad on your show about what the Cavs did. Explain here.
Yeah, so on Sunday afternoon, the Cavs game was furthest along. Even though all the East games started at the same time, the Cavs were furthest along. And the fourth quarter got there, and the Cavs still had the two seed in their hands. And they were looking at the scoreboard. They saw the Bucks getting blown out in Orlando, and they saw the Bulls ahead here in New York. Now, obviously, the Knicks ended up winning in overtime. And the Cavs basically threw the game at that point. They put in four centers and a two-way G League, you know, two guard. And Tristan Thompson was playing point guard for the last 6 minutes in the game. And you think that's a joke. That is not a joke. And the Charlotte, who was basically missing 10 guys, went on an 18-2 run to finish the game. Mm-hmm. And what it looked like was that the Cavs were so anxious about potentially getting the two seed and facing the winner of Miami Philly, which is where they were when they made that choice, that they basically spiked the game. Now, what the Cavs said was that, no, this was our plan all along. And one of our their starting point guard for the game, who was a rookie, got hurt in the first half, and it was just a bad circumstance. This was our plan. And I don't know where the truth is, but it was a terrible look for the Cavs. It made it look very bad, and Bontemps detonated on them.
That he did on the Hoop Collective podcast.
Yeah. Wendy, you know I'm the resident Lakers fan, so we got to talk about the play-in game tonight. Of course, they've got the Pelicans. The Lakers have won three of the four matchups this season. Now, if they're able to get out of the play-in tonight and into the playoffs, their prize is the Denver Nuggets. And right. I want to know if the goal for the Lakers to win a championship this season, is it better for them to play the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs, or would it be better for them to play them later down the line if they were on the other side of the
bracket?
Well,
if you're going to win a championship, you're going to have to beat the Nuggets anyway. Mm-hmm. So I disagree with the concept of trying to maneuver when you play them. You could even create a case that playing the Nuggets in the first round actually gives you a mildly better opportunity. They're not in rhythm right now. Historically, this team with Jokic has started slow in the postseasons. They played much better in the back of the postseason last year. Look, if you want to go farther, like, you know, it definitely, you would, I guess it makes sense for the Lakers to try to get on the other side of the bracket, but they're not trying to go far. They're trying to ultimately win. And so I also think it's just bad strategy to play extra games. In any sport, you never want to play extra games. So Lakers better put the pedal down tonight, try to get a victory. Then the most important thing for the Lakers, in all honesty, isn't their opponent. It's the health of LeBron and AD. And giving them extra time, like if they, you know, that series wouldn't start until Sunday. If they win, or actually Saturday, if they win tonight, they would get those extra days off. Mm-hmm. So last year, they definitely benefited from a favorable, like, sort of lineup because they played Golden State, who was a little bit smaller, and then they played Memphis, and Ja was banged up. That's one of the reasons why they got to the conference finals. But ultimately, I don't think you can plot your way. You establish your positioning over 82 games, not over maneuvering this week.
Mm-hmm. Brian, there's so many interesting matchups in the playoffs, and one that I'm looking at specifically is the Bucks and the Pacers, because the Bucks feel a little vulnerable right now, and there's a lot of ramifications if they were to have an early exit, right? How do you think Milwaukee stacks up with Indiana?
Well, the first thing is we got to see how Giannis's calf feels. I mean, we've seen guys have this injury in the past, and like every player is different, but it's typically a 1 to 2 week injury, and then you feel it for a while. So Giannis's health is really one of the biggest question marks in the whole playoffs. I know that people are going to look at the regular season when the Pacers went 4-1 against the Bucks. Mm-hmm. And two things I'm going to say. One, we're going to be reminded, and this happens every year at this time, that the regular season is really that. The playoffs every year, you think that it matters, and we will, to fill time, and I'm guilty of this too, we will give regular season commentary as we prepare for the playoffs. It's not the same. It's just not the same. Secondly, a lot is different since these two teams played. They happened to play their five games before Doc Rivers became the coach. Indiana could do nothing with Giannis during the regular season, even though they had a good record. He scored 42 a game against them, and they traded for Pascal Siakam since then to help defend that position. So, honestly, I think the Bucks are the bona fide favorites in this series, assuming that Giannis's calf is, you know, relatively okay.
We're talking with Brian Windhorst, of course, ESPN NBA, Hoop Collective podcast. You'll see him this morning on Get Up, First Take as well. A question that has never been asked in the history of playoffs in any of the four major sports. Is this the only time the Heat and the Sixers will play in the playoffs? We have never seen, there's no such thing as playing twice. Miami and Philadelphia could theoretically play twice in the playoffs. They could play tomorrow
that
night.
That is fascinating. Where did you get that data from?
My head. Think about it, Brian.
That is fascinating. Well, you're making some assumptions with some Philadelphia making some upsets.
Yes.
I would have to tomorrow.
The way it could happen in my mind is Miami would have to win tomorrow. I think Miami could beat New York. I think Philly is the only team that could beat Boston.
He's a little pro-Miami.
But theoretically, is it that absurd that those two could meet again later on in the playoffs?
Well, the Heat have not shown that they have not shown the teeth that I know that we cannot underestimate the Heat, absolutely, but this particular group has not shown the teeth that last year's team did. They haven't been able to get their best players playing all at their best at the same time, and I would heavily favor Philly to win tomorrow night, especially if Embiid is okay, which I think he will be.
Me too.
But it's a fascinating concept. Also, the Knicks are really good.
Yeah,
like that Knicks potential Knicks Sixers series, that could potentially be the best series in the entire first round. I also think Knicks Heat would be fascinating because obviously the Heat beat them last year, and that would be sort of a rematch. But even though the Knicks don't have Julius Randle, they got a lot going for them. I think a Knicks Bucks series, which a potential second round series, would potentially be an incredible battle. So, honestly, with the exception of the Celtics and the Nuggets, any other series that plays in this first round, I don't think you can have a quote-unquote upset.
Wow.
I mean, the talent is pretty that tightly packed.
Yeah, Wendy, you're talking about the Bucks playing in the second round. Are we sure they're going to get there?
I mean, no, I'm not sure anybody.
They're playing the Pacers, and the Pacers have won 4 of the 5 matchups this season.
I know, but it's a little bit different. Here's what I'm going to say. With the exception of the Nuggets and the Celtics, any other first-round series, I don't take those seeds at the start and flick them away. It doesn't matter. The NBA right now, especially the Western Conference, extremely tightly packed. If you want to say the Golden State Warriors are a bad team, I wish you luck. Because they finished this season 27-12, and they were one of the best road teams in the league. They were top 10 defensive and offensive team after the All-Star break. If you want to say that's a 10 seed, get out of here. Cool, dudes. But they are really – the Lakers, you may say, boy, what a disappointing season, another trip to the play-in. Do you know the Lakers just had their second-best regular season in 13 years?
No.
Did you know that LeBron just had his most games played? He's had as a Laker, and he just had the best three-point shooting season of his career. I know his defense has collapsed, but you look at these teams, you look at the Suns and the sixth seed, you think the Suns are a sixth seed? Good luck to you. I say enjoy your time. If you're going to pick chalk, I think you're going to get embarrassed in this postseason.
Wendy, well, the Boston Celtics have the flashy record. They're 64-14 in the regular season. They clearly have a path to the NBA Finals with a lot of resistance. I guess my question is, what are the stakes for the Boston Celtics in this postseason, knowing where they're at with Jalen Brown and the looming contract? I mean, the looming contract extension with Jason Tatum, and then you're talking about Joe Mazzulla and his situation, job security. What are the stakes for the Boston Celtics in this postseason?
Statistically, they are one of the three or four best teams in the history of the league. Statistically.
Sure.
Doesn't matter what statistics say, it matters what you do. They are as heavy of a favorite to get to the finals as been since like LeBron Cavs days. Their expectation is absolutely get to the finals. If they get to the finals and they play Denver and it's a seven-game war and the Nuggets pull it out, I'm not going to sit here and say that's no good. But the Celtics have everything. They are awesome on offense. They are awesome on defense. They have great, versatile players. They can shoot the three-pointer. They can play big. They can play small. Everything that they do is very impressive. This is as good of a team you can have in the modern era, but they have tripped over their own 2 feet several times in the recent past, and so therefore you can't assume anything.
Brian Windhorst, Hoop Collective Podcast, ESPN.com. You'll see him on Get Up at 8 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. We appreciate the time. Booger McFarland talking NFL coming up next. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2. We are joined here at the Seaport, Booger McFarland, ESPN NFL analyst. But I got to start with this, Booger.
What's happening?
The golf over the weekend. I know you're a huge golf guy. I know you golf and Peloton bikes, right? Those are your two outside of football things, outside of your family, of course.
Well, first of all, let me say this. Thank you for, I think it was the foursome you were putting together. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, sure. Well, if I'm
always
do it,
watching.
If I'm going to do it, we're trying to win, right?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
There's no question about it.
I need to bring in the ringers.
So is Scottie Scheffler as good as advertised over the last week? Because it was a Scottie Scheffler party over the last week. Do you think he's going to be that dominant moving forward?
Well, I don't think anybody's going to be as dominant as Tiger Woods was in his prime. But Scottie's proven right now he's the best golfer in the world. And I think, you know, he's starting to create that air of arrogance where you look up and you see his name, you're like, damn, it's him again. He's playing that well. But he's not like, we forget just how dominant Tiger was. Tiger won, 9 times in 1 year? Mm-hmm. I don't think we're ever going to see that again. But as far as coming to a major championship and regardless of the conditions, dominating the field, showing everyone that you are the supreme guy, he's doing that right now.
Booger, shifting gears and going to the NFL draft. 2 weeks ago, Drake May was the slight betting favorite to go number 2 to the Commanders. Now, Jaden Daniels is the overwhelming favorite to go number 2. I know you might be slightly biased, but what makes him the right pick for Washington if they go that route?
Well, some people think he's the right pick for Chicago. So, there are those that think he's the best quarterback in this draft. I think if you flip a coin between he and Caleb, it doesn't matter what side it lands on, I'll be okay. But he brings He brings what Lamar Jackson brought when he came into this league, which is a dynamic athlete at the position. Here's the difference, though. I think Jaden, at this point in his career, is a better passer than Lamar was when he came into the league. And so when you add that together and you just look at his trajectory, I remember watching him his very first game at LSU. It was against Florida State in the Superdome, and I'm like, I don't know if I see it. Like, I still see the Arizona State in it. But to see the ascension from that game to winning the Heisman Trophy and how much he got better and how much he improved and his flaws started to be diminished and they accentuated all the things that he did positive. It's unreal where he is right now. He's playing the best football of anybody entering the draft. Mm-hmm. His 2023 tape is better than any quarterback in this draft. It's Caleb, May, Penix, McCarthy, all those guys. It's that good. And so if he gets in the right system, which I think in Washington with Cliff Kingsbury, it will be. And the system, not necessarily saying it's going to be the run and shoot, but it's spread. It's open up. I'm going to allow the quarterback to see space, align running lanes if he needs those running lanes. And so to me, he's the right fit, not only for the Washington Commanders, but if you're Chicago, you really have to have a serious conversation. Are we taking the right guy? Because all reports are they've honed in on Caleb Williams. Are we taking the right guy, number one?
Yeah, it feels like that's in Sharpie, Caleb Williams to Chicago. Yeah. But are you saying that you think Jaden Daniels might be a better – might not just be a better quarterback, but could be a better fit for Chicago?
Well, it just depends. And that's where Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, during those conversations, they've had to sit him down and get to know the person. Because we can see the talent on tape. Like, the talent is not debatable. But what you have to do is get to know the people. I don't know Caleb that well. I know Jaden a little bit better because he went to LSU. Mm-hmm. But the fit in the locker room matters a lot more. Like, we've seen first-round picks that have been uber-talented that didn't fit in locker rooms. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can go down the list, Johnny Manziel, all the way down of guys who were talented, but for whatever reason, they didn't fit in the NFL. So the fit matters. Mm. I know Jaden's personality is easygoing, but when he steps on the field, like, he's got that killer mentality. And he's never going to run from a challenge. Just watch the LSU defense this year. We were bad. And every time he stepped on the field, he went out there and embraced, okay, we got to score 50 today. No problem. I'll do it.
The Mizzou game was unbelievable.
We don't have to name specific games. Okay, it was bad. I can name several more. The Florida game. I mean, we had to put up 50 points just about every game, and he never ran from the challenge.
Yeah. Wait, Booger, you just said something for both of you on this. You said when a guy doesn't fit in the locker room, you know it. How quickly do you know that as players?
You know, it's one of those things that I think early on when a guy comes in the locker room, you want to be seen and not heard. Regardless of who you are, and you want to allow your play on the field, in the practice field, to show guys who you are. That's what the veterans look at. Like, as a rookie, when you come in the locker room, I don't want to hear you. I just want to see how you work. I want to see how you come to work, see how you prepare, see what you do each and every day. And then when you start to kind of get a feel for it and you make some plays, then I can hear you a little bit. But if you ain't making no plays, I don't want to hear you. I don't want to hear nothing you got to say until you start to show up to work and do it consistently. Because pro football, and Kenny will tell you this, pro football is not about what you can do one day. What can you do consistently over a season and then two seasons and then a career? Because everybody in that league is talented. Everybody can come out there and have what we call a day. Mm-hmm. But can you have a week? Can you have a season? Can you have a career? That's what separates those and makes you fit in the locker room.
Booger, the New England Patriots have put up a flashing neon sign saying they are open for business with the number 3 overall pick. Mm-hmm. Robert Kraft saying they're in an advantageous spot because a team's desperate to move up for a quarterback. Gerard Mayo saying similar things, saying somebody would have to offer the bag, but we'll absolutely listen. Mm-hmm. If you're the New England Patriots and you get a phone call from the Minnesota Vikings offering up 11, 23, and a 2025 first-round draft pick, do you consider – trading down from number 3, knowing you need a quarterback?
You know what? Maybe I think they're going to have to sweeten the pot a little bit more. So if they got to blow me away. But if you're New England, you need a quarterback. Like, you traded away Mac Jones. It's no secret that, yeah, you're open for business, but you also need a quarterback. And so do you look at the quarter? Do you look at Drake May and say he is the franchise quarterback going forward? If that's the case, you don't move. But if you have questions or convictions about Drake May that he's not the guy, then you move. To me, it's not about where you are in your building process. So people say, well, New England's not ready to win, so don't take the quarterback. Okay, I don't believe in that. There is never a wrong time to do the right thing. And the right thing is to get a quarterback. And so regardless of where you are, regardless of the talent around him, you get the quarterback and then you build. Because who knows when you're going to be in that spot again. So I don't advocate being in the spot and saying, okay, we're not ready to win, so let's trade back and then we'll accumulate a ton of picks and maybe we get a quarterback later on, because I'm not a believer in J.J. McCarthy. I've let it be known, okay? And so to me, there are 3 quarterbacks in this draft. And Michael Penix, depending on the injury history and how your medical staff feels about him. Now, he may throw it the best, but those 3 at the top, and then Michael Penix. J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix are wild cards, and if you're willing to risk your future and little Johnny's private school on Bo Nix and J.J. McCarthy, that's on you. Okay. That's totally up to you.
Well, let's go from if you want to risk your future, that's on you, to a sure thing, because every Tuesday, Canty gives us his power rankings, and today was the top 5 guaranteed Hall of Famers in the 2024 class.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
So if you had to pick one guy in this draft class that you think is a sure thing, regardless of position, regardless of where he lands, who would you go with?
Wow. See, the safest pick is always going to be big fellas up front, because their skill set is easily most transferable from college football to NFL. So if you gave me one, I would probably go with Fuaga from Oregon State. Mm-hmm. Big, massive right tackle, explosive, has a little bit – a little bit of concern maybe in the pass pro, but, man, when I say nasty, Like, he reminds you of some of the nasty offensive linemen that we played against, the guys that will finish you and mm-hmm. then get up and be like, man, you okay? Like, he reminds you of that type of guy. Just a nasty mauling right tackle. So I would go against him. It's hard to pick these skill guys. Like, you can go to the wide receivers and all these guys. But for me, the easiest position where you can sit there and watch tape and say that translates to the National Football League is the big dudes up front on the offensive line.
Booger, I got to ask you who you were thinking about just now. You like, he always brings up Larry Allen as that guy that like just eats you for dinner. Was there somebody that Booger was just thinking about when making that comparison of the guy that's going to put you in the ground and then help you up?
Yeah, it was Larry Allen. I'll never forget. We played the Cowboys.
Same guy.
it was in Tampa, and you know it had been billed all week. Sapp, Larry Allen, Hall of Famers, all that good stuff. So Dallas broke the huddle. We went over front. Well, the tight end was opposite. No, the tight end was two. It was opposite. So that meant I was in front of L.A. And I looked over at Sapp, and I said, hey, man, they didn't come to see this. I said, we got to switch sides right now. I said, you need to get over there, dude. Because when he broke the huddle, he had, I guess it was snuff or chewing tobacco.
Yeah,
and it was running down his side of his mouth. And Troy was coming out, and I'm like, man, what in the hell are we doing right now? And that's when I told him, hey, you got to get over there, dude. Like, they did not come to see me against Larry Allen.
Yeah, they had what called Larry Allen flu.
But you guys are big, tough, strong guys, and you're voluntarily running away.
There's levels to this, though.
It's not running away. It's just picking and choosing your battles. You got to do that. You got to do that in life, too.
What do they call it? Discretion is the better part of valor?
No, as no question. No question whatsoever.
Booger McFarland, always great stuff with him. You'll see him on Get Up coming up at 8 a.m. Eastern. We were talking golf. Obviously, beautiful greens on the PGA Tour. Partner, PGA Tour, how about True Green? I love a beautiful lawn. I hate doing long hair. That's why I use True Green. They're the official lawn treatment provider of the PGA Tour. We all know those are some beautiful greens. So just imagine what they could do to your lawn. All you have to do is water and mow. That's it. And to top it off, when you sign up for an annual plan by April 20th, you get one application free. Okay? Free by April 20th. Visit TrueGreen, TrueGreen.com for the best lawn at the best price guaranteed. Restrictions apply.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. This is Unsportsmanlike with Chris Canty, Evan Cohen, and Michelle Smallman.
Adam Schefter, he joins us each and every week.
I had somebody yesterday texting Mike Trout, hey, could the Eagles trade for Micah Parsons? Mike, go back to playing basketball. No, that's not happening. Come on, let's stop that. But the Cowboys are not trading Micah Parsons. Come on.
Did you say that Mike Trout texted you that?
Every day, football questions.
Adam Schefter is the man that breaks every NFL story and that Mike Trout bugs every day for football information, and he joins us now. As always, brought to us by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off of your first month of online therapy at betterhelp.com/Adam. And he's kind enough to join us now. Adam, we know Caleb Williams is going number one. Do we feel good now about Jaden Daniels going number two to Washington?
Well, you don't know all these things. Again, As I said, I think the signs point that way. I think it's trending that way. Could Washington change its mind? Yes. Could they go a different direction? Yes. Do I think ultimately, if I had to guess today, that Jaden Daniels would be the pick? That's the way it's leaning. But teams
change their minds all the time. But if I'm doing a mock today, I'd mock Jaden too. And we'll see whether or not it holds up by next week.
Shefty, it feels like the New England Patriots have been sending signals to the rest of the league that they're willing to move down from number three. I mean, we had Robert Kraft saying they're in an advantageous position because teams are desperate to get up to get a quarterback. Yeah. Gerard Mayo referencing Nick Caserio down with the Texans and how he waited a couple of years before he got his franchise quarterback. We know New England needs a quarterback. Are we convinced that they're going to take one at three? Or are people in league circles, you know, considering the possibility that the Patriots might trade down?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You can make the facts work for you any way you want. Gerard Mayo saying that the Texans waited. Yeah, they waited. They also had picks 2 and 3 in a draft. And there aren't many times where you get a high pick. Texans are up there for a little while. I got it. But the Patriots are here at 3. Now, you could wait, but next year's quarterback in advance, a year out, is not supposed to be as good as this one. So what are you waiting for if you do wait? And are you going to be as high as 3? Maybe you have number 1. You don't know. But if there's a quarterback that you like at 3, there's no reason not to take him. Now, they are getting trade calls. There are teams that are attempting to move up to number 3. I'll bet you that if Jaden Daniels didn't go 2, that the Las Vegas Raiders would be on the phone just like that trying to get up to number 3 to see if they could do that. That wouldn't be a surprise to me with how much the Raiders would love to get Jaden Daniels in this draft. So I think the Patriots are waiting to see how it unfolds and the way it goes, and they will take calls and they will have action at that pick. And if they want to do something, they could always trade out. But again, I'd also argue that if they have a high enough grade on a quarterback, any of these other quarterbacks, there's no reason to wait.
Adam, one of those other quarterbacks is J.J. McCarthy. I know you put out there that he was meeting with various teams throughout the week. It feels like when you reference J.J. McCarthy, his stock could be very high or it could be kind of on the lower side. Where are you hearing teams at with J.J. McCarthy right now?
No, there are enough teams that really like J.J. McCarthy. It's not going to be an issue. He's going to go, in my mind, somewhere between if Jaden Daniels goes 2, J.J. McCarthy goes anywhere between picks 3 and 11. He just does. Like, that's going to happen. And we don't know exactly where. We don't know who's going to trade up. We don't know how that's going to play out. But in my mind, yeah, he's going to be a high pick. And I believe he'll be the 4th quarterback picked in this draft. And I believe he'll be relatively high. And I think he'll be a top 10 pick. So, I mean, I hope that answers the questions there, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're talking with Adam Schefter, brought to us by BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/Adam. Yesterday was a big news day per your reporting here at the wide receiver position, Adam. Devontae Smith signs an extension with the Eagles, and then we learned that C.D. Lamb is not coming to camp right away, the voluntary workouts, excuse me, and Justin Jefferson as well. When do we expect some of these potential contract extensions for the wide receivers?
Well, it's April. And these are voluntary camps. So there's no real rush right now. But again, I think these situations are now on the clock, so to speak. And you have up until the season to get them worked out. And last offseason was the story of the quarterback deal. And I believe it started with Jalen Hurts. It went to Lamar Jackson. It went to Justin Herbert. It went to Joe Burrow. We saw a huge number of huge quarterback deals. This will be the offseason of the wide receiver deals. And basically, you will have deals that go out for guys like C.D. Lamb and Justin Jefferson and Brandon Ayuk and Jamar Chase and Jalen Waddle and Amon-Ra St. Brown. There are a lot of wide receivers who are going to land big wide receiver deals this offseason. And we got one yesterday with the Eagles and Devontae Smith. And that will just be the start of what's going to be an incredibly busy offseason of wide receiver deals. There's going to be a lot of them. And they'll, you know, I don't know if there's any particular time that we're on here. You know, you might get one in the next week or two. You might get one before the start of minicamp. You might get one before training camp. You might get one before the start of the season. Like, there's no rhyme or reason, but I would expect at some point this offseason that all these wide receivers that we mentioned, they'll be addressed.
Shefty, what does the Devontae Smith contract mean for the future of A.J. Brown in Philadelphia?
Oh, I don't think it means very much at all. I mean, they're paying both guys, and I think that they'll be able to get through this season. And then if A.J. Brown has a big season after this year again, as we would think he would, then he might be in line to go back to the table and try to get another deal at that point in time, particularly after all these other wide receiver deals come in. But well, what is he? I think he's got 2 years left on his deal, or does he have one or two?
Yeah, he's got a couple years left on the deal.
Yeah. To me, that's the deal. He's got 2 years left. If that is, in fact, the case, and go play this year. And then if he comes up big the way most people would expect, then maybe he's back at the table after the season.
Adam, I want to swing back to the draft. It seems like there's always a surprise trade or a surprise team that makes a move in the draft. Which team are you monitoring? Well, I know you're monitoring all the teams, obviously, but which team are you monitoring specifically that you think could make a surprising move in this year's draft?
Well, it's hard to predict a surprise because if we could, it wouldn't be a surprise.
Right.
But I would just say that the Minnesota Vikings have the most ammunition of any team in the first round to go up and get a quarterback. So I think it's hard to think or imagine that they're just going to sit there at number 11 and wait for a quarterback to come to them, that they're not going to try to come up at some point in time to try to make something happen. So that would be a team that I'm watching here in the first round. Surprise team, honestly, I couldn't tell you that right now. There's still a lot that'll unfold, but the Vikings are a team that I think everybody's watching and waiting to see if and where they move up in the draft.
Adam Schefter joins us each and every Tuesday. We are looking forward, obviously, next week, draft week in Detroit. Adam, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you. We'll talk next week from Detroit.
All right. There he is, Adam Schefter. As always, sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off of your first month of online therapy at BETTERHELP.com/Adam. Are we at a point where we think it's just guaranteed done deal that Minnesota is going to get J.J. McCarthy? Because it feels that way right now. It feels like the first three are going to be as we've expected, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and then Minnesota's going to figure out any way they can to get the fourth quarterback.
Yeah, but I don't think the fourth quarterback is J.J. McCarthy. And we heard Booger McFarland earlier. He doesn't believe in J.J. McCarthy as a quarterback. And so I think it's a matter of whether or not you're comfortable with the medicals. But if you're a Minnesota and you strike out on moving up into the top three, then why wouldn't you just consider letting whatever quarterback fall to you and taking that guy at 11 as the better value proposition?
There's more to that conversation. We'll get to it coming up. We're Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.